Now it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can toke.
I inhale.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios.
Cannabis.
Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Holland, is it real? Don't tease me.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belville.
All right, welcome everybody to Hour 2. Toker Talk Radio is on the air on 420radio.org. I'm Radical Russ, your host for what is usually a discussion of marijuana, but today we're talking race, because I can't get it off my mind. And this is how I learn, man. This is how I learn. I express myself. I think through a topic. I form my opinion on that topic. I present that opinion as strongly as I can. I let people attack that opinion, give me more information, criticize my manner of thinking, and sometimes I adjust my opinion on the issue. This is how I learn. This is how I work out what is right and wrong in the world. It's a Socratic method of mine. I have to say things. I have to go out and I have to make controversial stands and then see what falls out from that. So as we're talking about this Rachel Dolezal case, the Spokane NAACP president, whose white parents say she is falsely claiming to be black, I turn to our chat room where Runaround 420 makes the most perfect assessment. Was she any good at her job? If so, then who cares about the rest? And to be accurate on this, the Spokane NAACP is standing by her. And she's always gotten rave reviews for her work at the Spokane NAACP. She was a well-loved and highly regarded African-American studies professor. So what makes someone black? Can she claim to be black? What's wrong with her claiming to be black? I mean, is Colin Powell more black than Eminem? Right? What makes black? Is it just the way you look? Is it where you come from? Is it the oppression you've faced? What makes black? Because in this situation, she's been doing a great job, and it was pointed out in some of these Twitter discussions and some of the articles that I've read, is that, see, this is why I didn't want to install the video anymore. This is why I didn't want the video window. Brian Kerr says the sound for the video window is not working. Well, tough. This is why I didn't want video, because it's all just a distraction for me. Where was I? All right. So this Rachel Dolezal thing, right? She's running the NAACP. She's by all intents doing a great job. But what she did was fraud. I won't cut her slack on that. She did misrepresent herself by the rules that were in place when she made that, when she checked that box or whatever, right? And it has been pointed out to me that white folks are perfectly welcome in the NAACP. They're perfectly welcome to join and even become leaders in the NAACP. They don't restrict it by race, but there's a part of me that thinks, really? If Rachel Dolezal had come to Spokane, Washington, left her hair straight and blonde, and kept her skin light, and applied to the Spokane NAACP and said, I want to be the president, how far do you think she'd gotten? Right? And that's part of what has got people pissed off is that, you know, at least with respect to the Howard University thing, they say, aha, well, she claimed black, and that helps raise her application in the affirmative action or whatever. And so you could make the argument the other way, too, that she rose faster and higher in the NAACP by misrepresenting that she was black. But if that's the case, then isn't that kind of underscoring why she had to do it? That if she is a person who identifies with her black siblings, with her black ex-husband, with her biracial child, with the community of friends that she grew up with, if she identifies with that and wants to fight for that, how much traction would she have gotten being a blonde white woman doing that? Right? She had to claim she was black if she wanted to do what she wanted to do, which was to fight for black civil rights, which by all accounts, she's been doing well. So anyway, coming up later tonight at 8 p.m. Pacific time, we got a new edition of Big Daddy Fink's Funky Roller Rink. Got some good funk coming up. And before that, Herb Thrasher will be in the studio. He's out like right now, I think, at some club getting some interviews and some video that we'll be playing later on tonight. So stay tuned for that. Herb Thrasher comes up at 8 p.m. Pacific time. He'll also be calling in for our Daily Toker Tunes, and we'll get more information from him then.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
The Russ Belville Show reminds you to never smoke and drive impaired. Hang out for a while. Share.
.420 Radio, the world's voice of marijuana legalization.
.420 Radio is brought to you by Sacred Serum, who is focused on creating elegant and sophisticated cannabis solutions through its line of dispensers and vaporizers that come preloaded with the world's finest cannabis concentrate. Sacred Serum's concentrate is made on pharmaceutical-grade supercritical CO2 extraction machines that use absolutely no butane or other toxic chemicals. The Vesica, the company's innovative new way to dab and frost, is now available in dispensaries across California. Sacred Serum, elegance and sophistication concentrated.
Hey, this is Big Daddy.
I like that.
I want you cats to join me at the Funky Roller Ring, right here on 420 Radio. Stop here at this gas station. It's like the groove in Soul Town, smashed together with a greasy pork sandwich on the side, baby.
Two hot dogs and a strawberry soda.
Funky Roller Ring. Yeah.
Lord, it's a real
Come join the fun at the CannaCon Expo, the nation's largest cannabis marketplace for products, services, and ideas. CannaCon is where the cannabis industry does business. CannaCon is coming to the Colorado Convention Center in downtown Denver, kicking off Thursday, June 11th through Saturday, June 13th. Tickets are on sale now at CannaCon.org. That's CannaCon, CannaCon.org. If you're looking for the best deals on growing gear and the most innovative products in the market, don't miss CannaCon. CannaCon will provide you with the opportunity to meet and do business directly and most affordably with the grow gurus and suppliers. CannaCon seminars are designed to be informal, open, and an educational conference where growers, processors, retailers, suppliers, and consultants can frankly discuss issues that impact this thriving industry. Don't miss CannaCon coming to the Colorado Convention Center June 11th through Saturday the 13th. Tickets are on sale now at CannaCon.org.
We'll be right back.
All right, welcome back, everybody. That's December in Red with their tune Hadouken, featuring Jared from Head PE. You're listening to Toker Talk Radio. And continuing this discussion of Rachel Dolezal, our phone line is open at 844-420-RADIO. That's 844-207-2346. If you feel like weighing in, and I'll just do this one last segment on it, and then we'll get back to weed, folks. It's just such a big issue, and it seems to be a slow news day, so everybody's on social media and such talking about it. And I gotta, again, we need to separate this one case of this woman, Rachel Dolezal, from the overall conversation. Because some of the stuff I'm reading about her sounds a little wacky. Like she has, you know, her parents adopted black kids, and so she managed to, she alleged abuse. Like the family's divided. They're all, you know, not speaking to each other, right? So she's not been speaking to her mom and dad or her other two brothers because she alleged abuse by the mother and dad, and won custody of the youngest boy, who now she is passing off as her son when she's her brother. I mean, this is a weird, weird situation. This is a weird I mean, her specifics make this harder to discuss, right? Because it does look like what she's been trying to do is defraud people, you know, the Howard University and the, you know, NAACP and whatever. But it gets us into a larger discussion of what exactly is race anyway in this country. It's something we have to discuss, right? Because in the war on drugs, it's so disproportionately racist, right? So one interesting point to be made is what is the fact that of all the racial distinguishers, white is the most fake. It's the one that makes the least sense. In American history, the definition of what white is isn't so much a particular race as it is a catch-all for those races who get privilege. And it's changed over time. In the early 20th century, when the Southern Europeans were coming over to migrate, they weren't considered white. Northern Europeans, Germans, French, Scandinavians, those are the white folks. But when the Italians and the Spanish and the North Africans came over, they weren't considered white. They weren't white people. This definition has been shifting over time. And in the case of, you know, the other thing that's happening is that, you know, like I mentioned earlier, people are making that comparison to Caitlyn Jenner and transitioning from male to female in gender. It's even got its own hashtag now, transracial. And so this is such an interesting, it just opens up so much in what we consider to be a particular race. I mean, when people think of what is white or what is black, I don't know that, I mean, I think there's situations where the lines are kind of blurred. You know, when we think of, I don't even know if we really should pick on anyone, right? But Paula Abdul comes to mind. Right? Was Paula Abdul a black artist, a white artist? What race was she? Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter as far as the quality of the songs, as far as I'm concerned, but it's interesting. And I don't know, it's just so frustrating to me because, you know, I could say all sorts of shit and I'm so affected by it right now that I'm self-censoring. That I'm thinking about what I'm about to say and thinking, oh, nope, they're just going to call you the white devil for that one. So it's tough. Because I want to understand this, and I want to understand why this is raised so much ire among some people. If the ire being raised is specific to her situation where she's defrauding people and all that, that's one thing. But to me, it's metastasized into a bigger conversation over how people define themselves. I mean, it's kind of like when you get an Iggy Azalea, for example, who appropriates all black culture and custom and mannerism and manner of speaking and so forth. And some people get pissed off about that. Oh, you're acting black. You're being a wigger is the word that they'll use for it. So what? Let her. Go ahead. I don't see the problem with it. It seems to me sometimes there's like a black police. There's like a racial police deciding who can do and say what. And it's frustrating to me too, because I feel this attaches to another bigger issue that we're facing in this 21st century interconnected, politically correct world, where we are marginalizing any controversial discussion of the issues. Going back to what, you know, Jerry Seinfeld, Louis C.K., and Chris Rock had to say about stand-up comedy on college campuses. You can't tell all the jokes you used to tell because people get all pissy, right, about it. But I think within comedy, there have been some of the best approaches on race ever. I think in particular, remember Richard Pryor on Saturday Night Live when he had the word association test with Chevy Chase? Remember that, where he says, spear chucker, white trash, jungle bunny, peckerwood, nigger, dead honky. Remember that skit? Could you put that skit on the air today without a bunch of millennial PC police running amok all over it on Twitter and Facebook? But that one skit on a live late night show in the mid 70s went a long way to breaking that topic open, to getting people to talk about it, be more understanding about it. I'm thinking now half of the shit that Richard Pryor put on an album couldn't be played anymore. It'd be bleeped beyond all recognition because we can't talk about those things anymore. I don't know. I just... It's ultra frustrating to me to be treated as if I'm some ignorant white bread redneck when, and again, I'll get slammed for this, when I have black friends and family who are very, very dear to me, who I don't want to see being shot in the back by cops or profiled at the grocery store or dealt a worse hand in life because of that. I love my black nieces. I love my black best friends. But you can't say that. You can't say that. Oh, see, just because you're trotting out your black friends. Oh, some of my best friends are black. And then we're immediately dismissed. Us white folks who actually have contact with black folks on a regular basis, we get dismissed because, oh, we're just bringing you up to, you know, just to see, I'm friends with the black people. No, man, I'm listening. I'm paying attention. I also got told today that I was a fake ass ally. You know what an ally is, right? Somebody who's, you know, white and with privilege, who supports gay rights or supports, you know, black civil rights or whatever it might be, that I'm a fake ass ally. I guess all that money I donated to NAACP, National Organization of Women, Human Rights Campaign, I guess the time that I spent in marches here in Portland protesting the violence in Ferguson and the violence in Baltimore, I guess all that doesn't matter. It just seems weird to me that we'd want to dismiss people who have the most experience hanging out with black folks.
Oh, won't somebody please think of the children?
And that's all I have to say about that. Enough of this topic. I love everybody equally, except people who treat me as if I were ignorant. Don't have much love for them. I'm going to take a break. We'll be right back with Herb Thrasher and our Daily Toker Tunes.
You can get 420 Radio on the go with our Shoutcast stream for all internet-enabled media players. Go to rad-r.us/420shout or just click the Shoutcast icon below the live radio feed at 420radio.org.
Oregon has joined Washington and Colorado in legalizing marijuana. We're Portland Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws chapter in Portland, Oregon. Join us as we celebrate the launch of an exciting new era in marijuana freedom in Oregon. Our job has just begun. Powerful interests want to white out the most important portions of Oregon's legalization law. By joining Portland Normal, you add your voice to the thousands who voted for Measure 91 and want it to be implemented as written. The people have spoken. Now it is time for the legislature to obey the will of the people. Find out more about Portland Normal at portlandnormal.org. Attend our monthly membership meetings on the fourth Saturday of the month. See our website for more details. Portland Normal, ensuring responsible adult marijuana consumers are afforded the same rights, privileges, and responsibilities as beer drinkers. The Fingerboard Extension has fretted instruments to enhance your creativity. It has new and used guitars and banjos from beginning to high class. The Fingerboard Extension has National Resophonic, Husson Dalton, Larrabee, Heritage and Recording King guitars, and Mike Ramsey, Wildwood, Gold Tone, and Recording King banjos. The Fingerboard Extension also has drum stuff, used gear, and parts. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis, Oregon at 120 Northwest 2nd, or check out the inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com and reverb.com. This is Radical Russ encouraging you to take a look at the Weed Blog every day. Johnny Green and the staff at the Weed Blog are on top of all the latest developments in the fight to end marijuana prohibition nationwide. You can even get the Weed Blog on your smartphone by installing the Weed Blog app for iPhone and Android. If it's about weed, it's on the Weed Blog, including my original writing. So don't delay. Read the Weed Blog today.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Rockin' Friday, featuring rock, metal, and the hard edge of alternative country. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tune.
Welcome back, everybody. Time for our Daily Toker Tunes, and we got Herb Thrasher. He's made of marijuana and metal, and he's got plenty to say. Take it away, Herb.
Doing great, man. Having a great day here in Portland, and also made of grass sometimes. I might as well throw that in as well. Got big things going on this weekend all around the country. One thing that's going on is Bonnaroo. Real excited about that. Next weekend, we've got the High Times Cannabis Cup. Really looking forward to loading up with Russ and taking 420 Radio down there. Those of you guys who listen, definitely make sure you come by our booth. Love to meet so many of you and hang out at the High Times Cup in San Francisco. And on that note, tonight on the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour, we have Danny Danko, the senior cultivation editor of High Times, is going to be calling in, giving us details of next weekend, all kinds of stuff going on down there, maybe some the bands, the music going on, what they have planned. And just always good to catch up with Danny Danko anyways. High Times is a key player, been a key player in our community for so many years. And Danny has been right there with him. So really look forward to talking with Danny Danko of High Times tonight about everything marijuana and cup. All right, brings us to the tune today for our Rockin' Friday. And I mentioned Bonnaroo is going on right now in Tennessee today, Saturday, and Sunday. And one of Portland's bluegrass kind of rock bands, Fruition, got invited to play that gig, and they're playing tomorrow at 1:15 to 2 on the Miller Lite. And so really cool shout out to Fruition. It's big time stuff to be playing, Coachella and Bonnaroo are definitely the top two festivals in our country, and that's a big deal for them. This tune right here is called Simple Man. It's a B-side from their Just One of Them Nights album released in 2013. Fruition will also be at the Northwest String Summit in July here in Portland, Oregon, and 420 Radio will also be there as well. So you guys definitely have a great weekend, and turn up Simple Man by Fruition, and we'll see all you guys at the High Times Cannabis Cup next weekend. All right, have a great weekend, folks. Turn it up. This is Simple Man by Fruition.
Thank you. simple-minded fool. Still, I've learned a thing or two. Like when to take time to make sure that I'm doing it right. I make mistakes, but I ain't dumb. Ain't gonna waste my time sucking up to no one. I won't get caught up in your race, 'cause it's already hard as it is keeping pace with the day. 'Cause they move fast enough. Ain't no need to rush, ease into it, baby. Just want your touch upon my skin, then I feel like I win. Yeah, then I feel like I win. Just a simple-minded fool. Still, I know what to do. Your precious heart with care, and treat myself the same. You know I got to be fair. Is this a game or is it a dream? I can't be sure, but I know we're on the same team. Or at least on the same page. And if I stay lucky, I'll see your face until the end of my days. 'Cause they're coming fast enough. Ain't no need to rush, ease into it, baby. Just want your touch upon my skin, 'cause then I feel like I win. Yeah, then I feel like I win. We'll be right back.
You can get 420 Radio on the go with the TuneIn Radio app for all mobile platforms. Go to rad-r.us/420TuneIn or just click the TuneIn Radio icon below the live radio feed on 420radio.org. Get .buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz. Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome! Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you.
Getaway, and it's our proverbial payday in a loser sort of way. Take the keys, take the back roads, and our hair, it's looking good for a couple of criminals. But it never goes as planned. You get run down by the man, and instead of beating till the whole heart of all the games and pulling off the perfect scam, you know, views not what I expected. Free ride in a cop car, yeah. Then again, the view's not so bad.
Welcome back, everybody. Toker Talk Radio. That's the Clintons with Free Ride in a Cop Car. Love that tune. Don't like the subject, but I love the tune. And speaking of a free ride in a cop car, our new friend Jenny Ray McGee has unfortunately had to take a free ride in a cop car. And apparently what had happened is that, let's see if I can find it from her notes here. But she had basically moved, she had been here in Oregon, and she had come here from Kansas. And she'd been sickly all her life until she managed to get a hold of cannabis. And then it discovered that that was the medicine that worked for her. And she's made remarkable recovery from, you know, all her ailments, or at least is doing better now that she's in Oregon, or she was in Oregon and getting medical cannabis on a steady basis. Well, her plan was to go back to Kansas to show her mom how. This is from her email. I was traveling back to Kansas to hug her mom and surprise not only her, but my family and friends. I got in a car wreck. I was told I did not have to report a single car accident by the town locals. Wrong. I was detained. Officers then searched the hotel room I was staying in and found a summer's worth of medication. My goal was to make Kansas my home base for the summer as I flew in between Kansas City, Portland, Atlanta, San Francisco, and Seattle to promote why medical cannabis should be legal for all. Well, folks, this summer's worth of medical cannabis In order to get a felony charge in the state of Nebraska, you have to have over a pound. So Jenny Ray set out from Oregon on a road trip with a friend in a car, presumably, I can't guarantee this, but presumably with Oregon plates, traveling east, rolls the car, gets in a wreck, and there's at least a pound in there. And I'm just so upset about this. From the perspective of, look, I got busted in Utah, right? I got busted in Utah on a road trip having a minor misdemeanor amount of marijuana that was blamed on me. But me going to jail for a misdemeanor couldn't possibly kill me. If Jenny has to do serious time in a Nebraska prison with her Crohn's disease and no cannabis, it could kill her. She could die from that. Now, she's trying to put together a petition to the governor of Nebraska saying she's not a criminal, asking for a pardon. And I wish her the best of luck in the world, but it's 2015. You're not the first patient with pounds of marijuana that's been busted in Nebraska. I don't think any of them have gotten a pardon. I just don't understand it, man. I'm so upset. And she points out that, you know, Nelson Mandela spent 80 years in prison. I will fight. This is my my calling, etc. But man, you're going to have a whole lot easier time fighting for medical cannabis from Oregon, where you're safe, than taking yourself back into the lion's den in the Midwest. I understand wanting to see mom. I understand wanting to get a hug. But it's going to be really hard to sell this story to the mainstream. That now, maybe not. Maybe now that even in Nebraska, there's enough support for medical cannabis that people will say, why are you, you know, prosecuting this girl? But to a lot of people, they're going to say, look, you had your medical marijuana. You were in Oregon where it's legal. Nothing forced you. It's not like your mom died and you had to go to the funeral or anything. It's like nothing forced you to go out there. And you decided to take over a pound of weed across at least four red states. Enough marijuana across four states that it had been a felony in any of those states. Man. I just don't understand that logic. I just don't understand it. And God, I want the best for her. I want her to get out. I mean, I've now known this woman for, 3 weeks now that we just met? And she seems so promising and positive and such the potential for such a great activist. But folks, let's mark this down in the book of rules. Russ's Law. You can be an activist, you can be a smuggler, but you should not be both. Being an activist means being a very high profile person about marijuana. Everybody knows you have marijuana, that you're all about marijuana. Being a smuggler means keeping a low profile. And I use the word smuggler, and I know people on the medical side will have this attitude, and I'm getting some of it back from Jenny Ray as well, that I'm a patient and nobody should be restricted to their own state. Nobody should be forced to travel without their medicine. Completely agree. Absolutely agree. But that ain't reality right now. And changing that reality is going to happen faster outside of a prison cell than inside. Now, I could be wrong. Maybe this is the kind of case that galvanizes people. Maybe this gets a lot of coverage and people rise up against it and do petitions and all that kind of stuff. But I don't see that happening. I don't see it happening. I'm really depressed about this. It's the first instance where, I've had friends get busted and I've known people who've done time. Hell, Bobby Platshorn did 29 years. But this is the first time I've ever met a new activist person and then just weeks later have to deal with the idea that they could do felony prison time. Now, She's not in a cell right now. Jenny Ray has bailed out. She got a friend who bailed her out. She says she'll be back here on Monday to sit in on the show and talk about it. But man, it's so depressing to me right now. She's looking for sponsors, and she did want me to let folks know that she's got a Facebook page. Go out to her Facebook page and you can learn more and support. And she wants people to email or call the director of communications for the governor of Nebraska. Her name, the email is Brittany.Harden, Brittany, .Harden, Hardin, at Nebraska.gov. Or the phone number is 308-660-9111. Now, it's going to be tough trying to get through to Governor Pete Ricketts and convince him that you should not be imprisoned. I'm pulling up a piece from the Nebraska governor's office that I had reported on. I don't remember when he made this mention, but this is directly from the office of Governor Pete Ricketts, the man she's trying to petition to be pardoned for having over a pound of weed. This is his words. "Our country's national conversation about the much-debated medicinal virtues of marijuana has found its way to the Nebraska legislature. Before the end of the session, senators will likely consider legislation that would legalize marijuana for medical purposes in Nebraska. During the committee's hearing process, my administration expressed concerns about the legislation, and those concerns have only grown with the Judiciary Committee's decision to move it to the floor." And what's the date on this? Doesn't have a date. Okay. "As the use of marijuana has been legalized in some states, including our neighbor Colorado, we have been able to observe the impact of legalization of marijuana has not had not only in our state, but as... but their state as well. Legalization of marijuana for any purpose has proven to be a risky proposition because the controls placed on its use in other states have fallen short. Sheriffs I visit with along the Colorado-Nebraska border tell me that the Colorado law has led to increased criminal activity, placing a greater burden on law enforcement in our state. While Colorado legalized recreational use of marijuana, states like California, who attempted to limit marijuana use to a medicinal purpose, have seen their system abused by marijuana users who access dispensaries for recreational use. In spite of efforts to legalize marijuana for recreational or medicinal use in other states, marijuana remains a federally banned controlled substance whose medicinal value has not been tested. While parents and advocates have made their case at the state level here in Nebraska and elsewhere for marijuana's medical use, our country already has a process in place through the Food and Drug Administration to determine whether a drug constitutes safe and effective medical treatment. Because of the tested and trusted regulatory framework of the FDA, Americans enjoy the highest quality and safest pharmaceutical drugs in the world." So, Jenny Ray, the governor you're petitioning, thinks that you need to get the FDA's approval to be able to use medical cannabis. He continues, "While attempts to circumvent the FDA review process may be driven by goodwill, any legalization effort outside this process puts Nebraskans at risk. For this reason, marijuana should not receive special treatment. Just like any other dangerous drug, marijuana should be subject to the same thorough examination by the FDA to study any potential adverse effects, appropriate treatment schedules, drug interactions, and long-term effects, among other topics. Blah, blah, blah. In absence of an FDA review, expert medical research shows that marijuana is dangerous. A 2014 study published in the New England Journal of Medicine concluded that marijuana use impairs critical cognitive functions. Another study conducted by Northwestern Medicine in conjunction with Harvard Medical School found that even semi-regular marijuana use altered parts of the human brain that control for emotion and motivation. These are troubling findings and only mark the beginning to understanding the impact of long-term marijuana use on the human brain and body." Then he goes on to talk about the use of K2 has spread in Nebraska and had over 100 overdoses in the Lincoln area alone. "This is yet another reminder of how dangerous marijuana can be and why any medical use needs FDA oversight." Idiot. Idiot. Idiot! Saying that marijuana has to be illegal because K2 is so dangerous. You know why people are using K2, Governor Ricketts? Because they can't get marijuana, and marijuana's tested for at work. But he concludes, "As the debate over medical marijuana takes center stage in the unicameral," that's their legislature, they only have one house in Nebraska, We must be cautious before we follow the lead of other states. Legalizing marijuana legislatively not only gives marijuana a pass on the important FDA review process, but it also puts the well-being of Nebraskans at risk. So, that's the governor that Jenny Ray has to petition to try to get leniency for trafficking over a pound of marijuana into Nebraska. Good luck, Jenny Ray.
Sir, do you think there will or should come a time for us to discuss the possibility of legalization, regulation, and control of all drugs, thereby doing away with the violent criminal market as well as a major source of funding for international terrorism? Thank you so much for your time, Mr. President.
Well, I think this is an entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Name the time and place, Mr. President. Radical Russ has been prepping for this debate full-time since 2005. The Russ Belville Show.
Four20 Radio is 24-hour marijuana legalization radio. Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420radio.org.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 1920s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs, we've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com. And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter.
There's a stranger on the road tonight on the way to Soldier's Town. A stranger with his coat pulled tight, his collar buttoned down. A stranger every sinner knows, a seasoned man of war. Marching to the fires of hell, sky by the cannon's
roar. Welcome back, everybody. That's Black Star Riders with Soldier's Town. Stay tuned later tonight, 8 p.m. Pacific time. We've got the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. He's going to have all sorts of damn near live coverage of music going on at Panic Room. That's a local club that's just a few blocks down Sandy Boulevard from our studios here. So he's going to be there at 6:30, apparently, or he's going to be there until 6:30 and then come out here for the show and then head back out there to get more interviews and live coverage. So check that out, 8 p.m. Pacific, Herb Thrasher Flower Hour, followed at 10 p.m. Pacific by Big Daddy Fink's Funky Roller Rink. And the Funky Roller Rink will be chock full of deep funk tracks tonight. Followed at 11 o'clock by the Electric Bob's Boogaloo. We'll have an hour worth of house music mix. And then at midnight, we've got Gordon Green's Music Planet, all sorts of world music for you. And at 1 o'clock Pacific time, the second edition of Totally Hilarious Comedy. We featured some Bill Hicks and the music of Tom Lehrer. So check that out. All right, so to finish up today, there's a major report, a special report in the Oregonian that came out yesterday. Pesticide-laced pot reaching patients. Noel Crumby is the reporter on this, and fair disclosure, I've had lots of interactions with Noel Crumby. I find her to be a very fair reporter, which of course pisses off people in the medical marijuana business here. Because sometimes she reports the truth. Like, gee, if you didn't want the truth reported, change the truth, huh? Right? You can't blame the messenger. Well, now some folks are kind of upset about her because she's written this special report, A Tainted High,
lax state rules, inconsistent lab practices, and inaccurate test results put pesticide-laced pot on dispensary shelves. Me, I'm happy she came out with this report. And I'm happy she's shown the holes and the problems in the testing of marijuana. The first thing we've got is that since marijuana is a Schedule I controlled substance, the regular governmental agencies that would handle these things, like standards, weights and measures, lab accreditation, and so forth, hasn't happened. Now, Oregon has mandated that these things are tested, but they're pretty lax on how they can be tested. The story starts out by talking about an extract they had purchased at a Southeast Portland dispensary that showed the lab certificate for the state-mandated pesticide testing and showed it to be okay. Meets the state requirements, pesticide-free, or pesticide-free enough. But then they took it to two other laboratories and found pesticides above what the state allows. And this wasn't just one single case. They bought a lot of different flower and concentrate and found that it was not passing the pesticide screens. They had two labs, OG Analytical, which is in Eugene, and Pacific Agricultural Laboratory in Portland. And both of them did blind testing that found that numerous products being sold on Oregon dispensary shelves have too high levels, or just levels of certain things you can't use at all, on the product that we're inhaling. According to Crombie, she writes, 10 marijuana concentrates, popular extracts made from the plant's leaves and flowers, were screened. Pesticides were found in nearly all of them. Many of the pesticides detected aren't regulated by Oregon's medical marijuana rules, which means products that contain these chemicals can still be sold. A total of 14 chemicals were found in 8 of the samples, including a half dozen the federal government has classified as having possible or probable links to cancer. Among them, a common household roach killer, and another whose health risks prompted the federal government to eliminate it from most residential uses more than a decade ago. And though many growers say they follow organic practices, only one of the pesticides detected in the analysis is approved for use in organic agriculture. And this is not just the concentrates, but things like open vape cartridges that they were able to find, some that had unsafe levels of pesticides in them. Now, part of the problem here, and it's illustrated by a man they interviewed named Hogan. I'm trying to find his first name here in the story. Where is he? But anyway, this Hogan fella, who is the he's the owner of Chem History, another lab, I think, says Oregon. Okay, the story says Oregon doesn't track lab testing, making it impossible to know how many samples fail to meet pesticide standards. Hogan, owner of Chem History, suspects growers take tainted samples to other labs in an effort to obtain clean results. Quote, what is a guy going to do if he has a pound of BHO that is worth wholesale $8,000? He just paid $100 for a test and he got a fail. Well, he's going to try this other lab and pass. And then you also have this pressure on the labs who know that if there's a major grower coming in, that if we don't give him a pass, he's not going to keep coming back in. There's an economic incentive to try to pass these guys. Now, I'm not saying necessarily these labs are looking the other way on stuff that has pesticides in it, but that incentive does exist. And also consider that when these guys are taking in their weed or their samples or whatever, they're only having to turn in one sample of what might be a huge batch. Maybe a guy keeps one plant over off to the side and doesn't put any pesticides on it, and then brings that sample or extract from that sample in for the testing so he can pass testing. Meanwhile, the rest of the batch could be all pesticide laden. It's a good thing this story has come out, because now we've got this pressure on the legislature to make sure that there are some rules about this. There's some standard and there's some tracking about this. Now, when they,
the pesticides they found here, they found 10 marijuana concentrates. And they've got a great little interactive here. Let me give you the link in the chat room if you want to follow along with this, because this is a great article on, and it has this great interactive on the different items that they sampled and how they failed. For example, the Open Vape Pineapple. This is a sativa extract cartridge for a vape pen. All these different... the pesticide myclobutanil. It's a fungicide. They found 4.561 parts per million in that. The lowest tolerance established. Okay, so like this came in at 4.5-ish. The lowest tolerance established for a food crop is 0.02 in asparagus, and the highest tolerance established is a parts per million of 10 for grapes. I would point out, though, that nobody inhales asparagus or grapes, right? You're inhaling this one. And there were some that had Mad Pharmaceuticals, OG, propane hash oil, PHO, turned up positive for cypermethrin. It's an insecticide. Came in at OG Analytical. Its parts per million, the testing by OG Analytical revealed 2.13 parts per million. That's 21 times what's allowed under the Oregon Health Authority rules. Pacific Agricultural came up with 6.9 parts per million, 69 times the limit allowed. That's got to be really distressing to think that two different labs could take the same sample and one of them's off from the other one by a factor of triple. One of them comes up with 2.13. The other one comes up with 6.90. That's insane. We can't have, and this is the medical side, which has been fairly lackadaisical as far as the regulation on it goes. But as we unveil a recreational marijuana market here in the state of Oregon, we can't have these levels of pesticides in our product. The legislature needs to get its act together and make sure to set up appropriate standards, checks and balances on these labs, independent testing, auditing, surprise audits, whatever it takes. Because this isn't just about patients, this is about all of us. None of us should have to inhale pesticides on our cannabis products. Well, folks, that's all the time I've got for today. Sure has been a fun one. We'll be back on Monday with more news, views, and interviews you can use for the cannabis community. Make sure you check out 420radio.org, and if you can, become a VIP supporter. We are like public radio. Without your support, we don't exist. For everyone here at Rolla J, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at radicalrus.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you grow it.